So, welcome everybody to our second lecture of the day, of day one of ROSCON 2021 Cloud Edition. This time we are having as a subject the end of this arms race, web developers versus the advertising companies. And we have a lecture about a new method, about a new proposition, how to do a data privacy friendly technique of web analytics. And for this, I present you Hendrik Niefeld and Frederik Ring, who will present their lecture now. If you have any questions, please come into the big blue button chat room and have your questions there. I will present them at the end of the lecture, and then both of the speakers can answer the questions there. So have fun.
Okay, thanks everybody, and good morning. Thanks for being here with us today. My name is Hendrik, and before we begin, I would like to thank the ROSCON team for having us. We are happy to be able to share our thoughts on privacy with you guys today. And before we begin, I would like to share a beautiful dream with you. Please take a moment and let this sink in. Imagine the internet was a place where you could trust operators of web services again. Yeah, before we take a closer look at this vision, Frederik will tell you a little bit more about our backgrounds.
Yeah, hello everybody. Good morning. So, who we are and what we do are some words about our background. We're Hendrik and Frederik. We're working together on a project that's called Offen since early 2019. Offen is a web analytics software. We started this out as a software as a service kind of thing, which was very en vogue back then, but turned out our ideas did not really match this method of operation too much. So we turned this into a self-hosted open source software. And we also found that many of the ideas that we had in this software are a very good fit for making them available to other softwares as well. So apart from building that web analytics software called Offen, we also branch out and offer tools for other softwares to handle data in a fair manner. We are currently funded by NLNet and the NGI Zero initiative, which is great for us because it allows us to operate on like without any business needs, but we can just build the software in a way where we say, hey, this is great from a privacy perspective. And our two main products are Offen, which is a fair alternative to common web analytics tools. And then we are also working on a proposed standard that's called analytics.txt. And analytics.txt lets you as a website operator disclose the way in which you handle user usage data transparently. Yeah, and we will talk about those two things later on in more in detail. Okay, so let's start with our talk. So a very fundamental idea behind everything that we are building is, on the one hand, users have a right to privacy over their data, and on the other hand, they'll have a legitimate interest in usage data of their services. And this means whatever we build, we always look at both users and operators. So because like many of the tools like ad blockers, for example, they just look at one part of the equation, and we try to always look at both parts of the equation. Because we believe that you can run your website or application in a fair and transparent manner and still make it a business. So fairness and transparent handling of data is not something that is limited to hobby projects for us, but it's something that applies to everything and it won't hurt you if you run a business but still want to like handle the data fairly.
So, and I think here is the point where we should put a little disclaimer in, because we are not lawyers, obviously, ourselves. The stuff we are presenting you here is based on different sources, on conversations we had, and observations we made during the last years working on these two projects. But it seems to us legislators also see the internet as a place where could also be money be made, and there are a few guidelines that GDPR presents, and I will shortly introduce them. There are a lot of aspects to share, but I've picked only three ones because they will be relevant for our talk later. First of all, the things should be necessary to process. Personal data shall be adequate, relevant, and limited to what is necessary in relation to the purpose for which they are processed. Next point is the legitimate interest. Processing shall be lawful only if the following applies. Processing is necessary for the purpose of the legitimate interests, the controller, or by a third party. And these are two aspects combined. Both are about consent or freely given consent. Processing shall be lawful only if the data subject has given consent to the processing of his or her personal data. And consent must be freely given, specific, informed, and unambiguous. The element free implies a real choice by the data subject. Okay, that's what you can find in the law. But.
Yeah, but how does this look like in practice? Because you might have noticed all of those laws might make some law perspective, but it's where implementing them in the real world is a totally different thing. So what data is necessary to process? What's legitimate interest, and when is consent freely given? Those are very tough questions to answer. And most of us as web developers probably aren't very good in law and everything, and but we're very good at tech. So what we do is we read those laws and we don't really understand them, and then we look for technical loopholes so that we can so that we don't have to actually deal with those laws. And this is a very dangerous reflex that all of us are having, but it's totally normal. And it's also kind of important to stress that this does not only apply to a solo web developer who is working on a small website, but this also applies to large scale when you're an enterprise and you're very good at tech. I mean, even if you have a legal department, you will still try to find a technological solution to the problem at hand. And the technological solutions at hand are mostly loopholes. Let's have a look at those questions in specific. So when is it actually necessary to process data? The thing is, even the law states it's not really clear. So it says does not necessarily mean that it's absolutely essential, but also, on the other hand, it must be more than just standard practice. And in this gray area, it's very hard to find your position on what you are going to do. For example, one example that probably everyone knows is the handling of log data. I mean, for example, you have a web server, it logs IP addresses by default, and it logs them forever. Do you actually need to do that? Is it necessary for you to, I mean, does the default of this behavior imply that it's necessary for you to process the data? And the answer is, it's probably very hard to tell. I mean, the same probably goes for the question of legitimate interest. For example, this is something where the topic of like marketing purposes come into play. Is tracking users for marketing purposes, is this legitimate interest or not? And even the GDPR law has a passage that says direct marketing purposes may be regarded as carried out for legitimate interest. So the answer is I did it. And it's just like, it's impossible to tell. Legitimate interest is also the ultimate loophole for everything, ranging from analytics to error reporting to screen reporting to saying, for example, there's this passage that says, okay, when your web service is at risk, and you protect your web service from a risk, then this is legitimate interest. So what's a risk? I mean, is it a risk that your web service will be visited by a bot at some point, which means you have to collect everything by default without consent? Or is it not a risk? And so this is another thing that's very, very hard to tell. And it also creates like very odd situations, because if you say you do something out of legitimate interest regarding data collection, then this raises the standard for data subject rights. For example, if you say I have a legitimate interest in collecting data for the purpose of marketing, then you also have to grant the data subject the right of deletion, which means in the end you will have to collect even more data because you do it out of legitimate interest. If you wouldn't have to implement the data subject rights for something, you probably could collect the small subset of data only. But because you have to fulfill the data subject rights, it means you have to collect even more data out of legitimate interest. So very hard for us to come up with something where we say this is a lawful solution, because no one, even the law says it doesn't know what a lawful solution is. And maybe we can also have a look at the last of those three questions, which is also kind of important for us in the software we're building, which is freely given consent. People nowadays love to hate cookie banners, so-called cookie banners. It's also strange that it's called a cookie banner and not a consent banner, but that's a different topic. And you probably all know those monstrosities and all of the dark patterns that apply. And you probably also, if you ask yourself, at what point was this consent actually freely given? Then the answer probably is you don't know. There are patterns like people have you could pay for a tracking free version of a newspaper, or you just accept the tracking. Is this freely given consent? It's probably not. People still get away with it. It's just very hard to tell. And in this consent, there's also this topic of bundled consent, which is, in theory, you would have opt into one thing, and then all of a sudden this is implies consent for a bunch of other things. And this is also not legal, but this also incentivizes mechanisms. Like, for example, Google is phasing out like third-party cookies and trying to replace them with something that's called federated learning of cohorts. And this basically just circumvents bundled consent, because you have to consent, your consent is only like you consent into the very same thing always, and it's just used by multiple parties. Yeah. So this, as you might see, its answers to those three questions are, all of the three questions are less important to answer. And still people need to comply with those laws. And what do people do? People come up with creative workarounds and they start an arms race.
Yes, this is our observation that in recent years a technological and legal arms race has emerged, and I want to tell a little bit more about why do we believe that. On the first hand, you have the ambiguous legal situations, which means legislators take a long time to implement the law, like GDPR. And then, on the other hand, local authorities don't enforce it stringently. I mean, Germany is a very good example where different laws overlap, and these laws are from different eras back in time. So you always have a clear, unclear, vague situation. What is the actual law in Germany at the moment? Another point is, of course, law needs to be interpreted. And with this fact, of course, consent maybe can always be bypassed through just a creative interpretation of a law. Then you just stuff your creative methods in the small print and try to get through with it, which somehow feels like the norm nowadays. From our observation, it's more like who dares wins. It's just about not getting caught. Another point is that you could try to game consent. I'm sure the audience is aware of all the different psychological methods that are out there. It's known as dark patterns to trick you into giving consent, or trying to make it so painful for you that you give your consent away because you just want to get through with it. And let's not forget our big tech titans in the game.
Yeah, so this is kind of to the topic that I touched about, the Google moving from third-party cookies to interest cohorts. We're in a situation where regulation will always fail at the technical level, because implementing a new technology is done much quicker than passing laws. So for example, yeah, we have this thing, it's explicitly called cookie law, but what happens if Google, who basically has a monopoly on browsers, says, we'll just stop using cookies and we will start using a tracking technology that simply isn't covered by law yet. And this is a unfortunate situation, because, like, as I already mentioned, implementing a new technology is probably much quicker than passing the law. And it's Google controls the Chrome browser, and Firefox is also dependent on Google. So basically, technical standards nowadays, they require the biggest advertising company to implement them and to vouch for them. And basically, no one else has a say right now. Which, even if you're a small scale business, you are still subject to the fight between that big advertising company and the law, because they basically build the internet right today. Also, this entire situation creates a really strange set of audits if you look at it. I mean, first of all, we have those consent banners that are supposed to be like user friendly, but in the end, like the people who have to implement the consent banners build them in such a way that they make you hate the consent banner, and they basically trick you into thinking, hey, the consent banner is something that's there to when instead it's, in theory, it's supposed to help you, but they turn it into something that actually hurts you. Then, as the slide says, this is also a really strange trend in privacy-friendly software. We've seen there's a lot of privacy-friendly software out there, and then you come up with the question, hey, how do I exclude myself from statistics in your privacy-friendly software? And the answer by vendors usually is, hey, install an ad blocker and block yourself, block our software, our privacy software, which, to be honest, is kind of odd to us. Or, for example, a technical detail that's also very odd, for example, if you're on the server, you can store IP addresses, user agents, without any consent, which makes users perfectly identifiable. But as soon as you start doing it on the client by assigning a random identifier, you all of a sudden need a consent because you're storing a cookie. A lot of things don't really make sense in this entire situation. This just leads to like users being annoyed and operators of websites being like super confused. The entire situation does not really paint a pretty picture, because users' trust has been sustainably damaged. I mean, for example, you will run into situations where you are being asked for consent and then you notice they don't even care. They will just track you no matter what. Also, there are user-friendly regulations out there, and then they're being turned into an annoyance, and they basically are used as an argument against handling data properly. Operators basically, even especially on a smaller scale, they suffer from the ambiguous legal situation, just try to stay under the radar so that no one actually looks at their implementation, because as we've seen, you really don't know how to implement stuff. And the only this is probably a very German thing, but basically the only one who loves the situation is like the warning letter industry, where you can send out warning letters to people who obviously do stuff wrong. And but I mean, if we look at the idea behind data privacy laws, then this should be something that helps both users and operators alike. Yeah.
Yes, and I think here's a good point to say a bit more about our personal motivations on this topic. We think it's time to end this arms race, because we believe, or our initial feeling was, we just don't want to go along with this anymore. But on the other hand, we are also sure that we have to start small, and then it can become a big thing, then it can become a trend, because we don't believe you start things, changes like this, like a revolution, but you rather should start a trend, which then can evolve in something better. And we also always want to make sure, let's think outside our own bubble. Ordinary users deserve to be respected as well, even if they are not so much interested in the topic. And if this is a point you want to follow, then you also know you have to take operators on board as well. And for this process to get started, we formulated a few basic ideas, guidelines, simple instructions, as you like, that I want to get through with you quickly. First important point, try to avoid data collection, because oftentimes data is collected because it's just technically possible. And if you look close at it, there's no real benefit derived from it. Next important thing, be transparent. Provide the user information about your approach to data collection. We are working on certain technical solutions for this. More about this later. Accept users' choice. It sounds maybe easy and simple, but think about it. You have to accept a no the same way you accept a yes, talking about consent banners. And by the way, we still believe the consent banner is the best solution at the moment for this. So also, there is this aspect that we are the opinion that the data you collect after opt-in is from much higher quality. Next point on the list, minimize your data footprint, because after opt-in, in most cases, data sets are already good enough to allow a comprehensive analysis. And last but not least, use better tools, because tools you use are often prescribe a certain way of dealing with data that you then simply go along with. Oh, talking about tools.
Sorry, I still needed to unmute myself. So talking about tools, how do we implement all of this that we've just been talking about in our own tool? And I already taught analytics.txt, so let's have a look at Offen maybe. Offen is a self-hosted web analytics software that you can install on your own servers. And the basic principles behind it, and the fundamental principles behind Offen, are data is collected after opt-in only, so you will never be tracked when you don't consent into it. You can either revoke your consent at any time as a user. You can inspect your own data at any time as a user. You can delete your own data at any time. So this is for you as a user, it's perfectly transparent. You will see the very same interface as the operator does. For the operator, it's a very lightweight solution that focuses on on the most important data only. For example, we don't collect geolocation or things like this. We never look at IP addresses. So everything is built with the concept of Datensparsamkeit in mind. And we also found that this actually, even if it sounds like very limiting, we found that it's actually a very good way of getting high quality data, because you automatically get rid of all of the bots and all of that. So if you're interested, give it a try. You can run a demo on your own system in no time. You can install it. It's a single binary. So if you're interested, give it a try. It's www.offen.dev. or github.com/often. Yeah, and the second project we are working on is this standard called analytics.txt, and analytics.txt gives you, as the operator of a website, it gives you the possibility to disclose what you're actually doing. So for example, because there's like the things that you can actually observe happening in your browser are limited, and it might be interesting for users and operators alike to actually know what's going on behind the scenes. How long is data being retained? Who do you share data with? Do you share data with third parties or with the public or stuff like this? So analytics.txt is a format that lets you specify this behavior of your website and disclose it to users. And users could then, for example, use a browser extension to find out about what this website actually does and how it handles your data. You can have a look at analyticstext.org. It has a wizard for you to create such a file and instructions where you can put it. This draft it's still a draft. So if you have feedback on this, we're also very open to find out about your opinions on this. Just open an issue on the GitHub repository or send email to discuss things about this.
Yeah, I think in summary, you could say we are primarily committed to fairness and trust on the web, because we are absolutely confident that a fair balance between operators and users' interests makes the web a better place. And maybe as a last thought here, especially operators with ethical business models will benefit from this attitude, because who has already fairness and trust on his agenda? For those people, of course, this approach is very helpful. Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for your time and your interest. That's all from us now. And yeah, we look forward for your questions.
Thank you, Hendrik, and thank you, Frederick, for your lecture. I was quite interested in the lecture itself, since I know a little bit about GDPR. And also, I am in a company which is using right now Google Analytics as an analytics tool, and I may be able to persuade them to switch to Often or something similar. To all the attendees on the stream also, please join us in the Big Blue Button Room if you want to ask any questions. The chat is open for everybody, and if there are questions, I will read them to the stream, so Hendrik and Frederick can answer them, and the questions are already then in the stream itself. I have at least one question. How do you make sure that someone is not recording all the personal identifiable items before he's giving his consent? Is there any way for your software to disable some kind of logging before you have given consent on the website, or do you trust the website presenter that he's doing his job and not log anything else?
You are now unmuted. Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, we always have to trust the operator to some extent. And it's also, this is an interesting design decision, because we are, especially when we started out, we often ran into situations where we say, okay, at some point, the user who has opted out or has not opted in yet will need to make a request. So how do we make sure those requests are not distinguishable from requests that users are doing that have opted in? There is some, I mean, you will have when you're opting out, you will have to make one request, but it's definitely possible for us to not leak any information about your status from this request.
Okay, thank you. I don't see any questions in the chat. So I would ask everybody just go to open.dev or ask the both of these on Twitter or GitHub, look at their code, check out the code, cloning it, maybe make it even better, help them make often a good piece of software. And I say thank you for your talk. Have a good and a wonderful day. Thanks for giving us your lecture and see you next time.
Bye-bye. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Bye.